Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this call. My name is Wendy Newman, and I'm going to give you three surprising things that men look for in a wife. Interestingly enough, with a title like that, we had over 600, I think it's 640 some odd women register. I love it. I love it. I love it. That means that you're looking at partnership, you're looking at what matters. Thank you so much for being on this call. I really appreciate you being here. Like I said, there's going to be 600 and some odd women on the line, so that's why it's such a pristine line. You only hear me, and everybody else is on mute. If we do have any opportunity to take questions throughout the evening together, I'll hand you a mic. If you've ever used a Maestro before, you know what that looks like, and I'll give you the opportunity. I can actually see you. I can see your name. I can, because you called in on a specific number, so I can call on you by name when I ask you to push one, that sort of thing. And I actually want to just check in with you right out the gate to see if you're in the right place so I can serve you, so I can make a difference for you. Because if you're not in the right place, I mean, this is almost an hour-long call. You could go have a life somewhere doing something different. So I want to just check in to see if you fit into any of these categories. I see a couple of hands up already, so I'm going to put all the hands down. And like I said, I can see you, so if you use your touch tone pad to push a number that correlates with your situation, I'll be able to tell what percentages, who's weighing in on what, like that. So And it's fine if more than one fits. You could hit that number and then hit a different number if you need to. So if you're a woman that you're single, you've been single for a while, and at this point you're mad or you're disappointed or you're irked, I want to bring you hope on this call. So if you're in that place, push one. Okay, those hands are starting to go up. If you're new to being single, like if you haven't been out there on the dating scene, if you're new to being single again due to a divorce or a long-term relationship breakup, you're here to find out how to not screw up the next one. Hit two. So far we have 28% of the women hitting one, and numbers are climbing for two. If you're married or in a couple, hit three. Or if you're not dating at all, if you're not dating or engaged in dating with anybody, go ahead and hit four. So I can just get a sense of who's here. Okay, great. Like 9% of women, 10% of women are married or coupled. I will definitely have good information for you too. And 30% not dating, not doing it, not interested. You might be interested, but you're not doing it. Okay, very good. Now I know we've got a broad range of women on this call. So we do these free calls every now and again to introduce our work to you. So I'm going to introduce myself as a person, and I'm going to introduce PAC's programs to you so you know a little bit of our background and what we're up to, us being the company and moi. So I'll start with PAC's. So PAC's programs, and you might have heard of PAC's programs because of Alison Armstrong or the Queen's Code, that workshop. So Allison started studying men. She's the founder of the company. She started studying men all the way back in 1991. And she started studying men because she wanted to find out what the deal was. You know, she could count on her women friends for things. She couldn't always count on men, and they certainly weren't predictable. And she found out pretty quickly that they're responding to us. What she could find out was she could bring out the worst in men in seconds, well, 10 minutes at the most. And she thought that was a really good thing, because if all men are going to behave badly, it's good to be really efficient and get right to the point of it to find out what flavor of a jerk is this one, right? What flavor of an asshole is this one? So she really wanted to learn about men and study men and figure out the most efficient way to deal with them, and she started asking them questions, starting with, why do you do that? And the answers were really surprising. And then she started with, what if there's a good reason for that? And then she started asking a whole different set of questions. Now she's getting curious. The anger is subsiding. The adversarial relationship is subsiding because she's learning all of these really cool things about men that make them so very different than us. And then she got to the question, well, what if nobody's misbehaving? What if they're behaving according to design? And maybe they're designed different than us. And so she started studying men in 1991, and we started leading workshops for women in 1995. And we've led thousands of workshops to thousands and thousands of women. Has it been thousands of workshops? Yes, it's been thousands of workshops at this stage. And when I did the workshop in 2002, what I loved about the workshop, the Queen's Code workshop, so much is it really made my life easy and workable. I'm all about ease and workability. So that's who PAC's is. We've been around since 1991, leading workshops since 1995. We're dedicated to men and women understanding each other and partnering with each other really well so everybody can get what they need in relationships. And I'm going to take a minute to introduce me. I'm Wendy Newman, and I'm 49 years old. I live in San Francisco, California, so you're hearing me from there. And I have been around at PAX since 2002. I took the workshop, and I immediately started working for the company. My life was so changed. I was in. I was 100% in. And over these years, I've led hundreds of workshops to thousands of women. And I've been studying men for 14 years. It's part of the gig here. And I'm really into it. I don't think it will ever stop, the researching of men. And so I've talked to men about everything. I mean, everything. I took 5 years to research men and their type. I was obsessed. So, you know, a woman could stop me on the street and say, hey, do you know what a man might think about blank? And I would probably have an answer for him. Maybe not a specific man, but men in general would think about it this way, right? I'd probably have an answer for her. So I've been studying men forever. And I came to PAX programs and the Queen's Code workshop back in 2002 after the end of a long-term marriage. Very typical story. We married really young. After 12 years, there was something in the marriage that was never quite right. It was fundamentally off, and I just wasn't willing to stay there another 60 years. I was 35. I wasn't 95, and I needed to go. And I came to PAX because I didn't want to screw up the next one, and I didn't really have a good grip on men, so that's what I was here for. And once I started working for PAX and understanding men and becoming an expert in partnership, I thought, oh, I'll be married in no time at all. But I wasn't. It took me a decade. And I've been with my partner, Dave, for 3.5 years now. We live together in San Francisco. But during that decade, I went on 121 first dates with different people. I went on 121 first dates with 121 different men. Can you imagine it? Oh, my God. I didn't mean to. I never wanted to. If anyone would have told me I would have had to do that, I wouldn't have believed them because, like most women, I just wanted to go on one or two and be done with it. Never planned to be a serial dater. It was not a fun thing to do for me. But in that experience, I could see that there are things, and some of the things that we're going to cover pretty quick here tonight, some of the things that we do as women that actually instinctually we do them because we think that they're going to be helpful to having a husband, but they're not. They actually push men away. So you'll be seeing some of that uncovered tonight. And there were things that I learned right up to the very end that would have lessened the time I spent out there on the court. But it took me so long because I'm a really hard match. I had a lot of requirements like a lot of us do. Some people would have thought I was setting the bar too high. But specifically, what was happening was there were two characteristics I needed in a mate. And one of those characteristics, almost always 100% of the time, canceled out the other characteristic. So it was basically two different men that I was looking for. And we do that all the time, too. We'll ask for things that, if you look on the list, one of them canceled out the other. And I knew it, but I was willing to hold off for it, and I'm really glad I did. And like I said, I'm a dating, sex, and relationship expert. I wrote a book about my experience on 121 first dates, and it's called 121 First Dates. It's getting a lot of love in the press. And that's all I want to say about me. I want to dive right in and dive into topic here. Now that you know about me and you know about PAX, I want to talk about the three surprising things that men are going to look for in a wife. Partway through, I'm going to give you some information on a special deal on the Queen's Code workshop. I'm going to give you a code and a deal that's only available on this call. You can't find it on the website. I want to give you a lot of content. So I promise in the middle, the details for the Queen's Code will probably take about 5 minutes. And then at the very end of the call, for those of you who are single, or you're new to dating, or you've been doing it for a while, you're sick of it, I have a special offer for you for my Dating by Design class. It's an 8-week teleclass that I give you everything I got that I learned in that decade to shorten your time out there on the field to be efficient and to get what you need. because what I found out is we women, we have a lot of the same problems. We have a lot of the same issues out there. So I will help you with that, and I'm going to talk about that at the very end of the call. So you'll have all the information, and if you're not single and you're not interested, you can drop off and not have to hear that piece, which will also take about 5 minutes. So here we go. I want to dive on in to the first thing that men are going to look for if they're hunting a wife. Now, this is going to sound obvious, but there's a lot to it, and there's a lot we do to prevent them from seeing it in us. The first thing that they look for is that he can get what he needs from us. Now, we go by when we're on a date, we want to like him. We want to respect him. We want to think he's cute. We hope he has resources. We look at lifestyle. We look at his honor. We look at his integrity. We look at, is he funny? They're looking at, could she possibly make me the highest priority on her list? Could what I need be honored by her? That's what they're looking at. I mean, of course, they're looking to see if we're cute. But they're also looking for, are you going to be able to pay attention to his needs? Are you going to be able to be supportive of his life? I have a friend. I've seen this so many times over the years. I have a friend who was a famous producer, record producer. Some of you on this call may not know what a record is. He was a famous record producer in England, and he was brought over to America to do a really big band's first record and second record, and he ended up staying over here. And he was a big-shot record producer, loved his life, was flying to L.A. all the time to produce, was spending time in Nashville and New York, and he met the cutest blonde woman that he loved and married, and she was so excited to marry a producer, especially one who had produced so many songs that were hits on the radio that she loved. But when she married him, she didn't want him to be gone out of their small town anymore. She didn't like that he was a producer and traveling all the time. She liked the accolades. She liked the status. But she didn't want him gone for 2 weeks to Memphis. She didn't want him gone for 3 weeks to L.A. He ended up quitting. He works in a retail store in a small town, and he's been there for years because he has a child. Whoopsie, he forgot to notice or he overlooked a seriously important qualification that most men look for. Can she support my life? Can she get behind the plan called how I do my business, how I do my world? If he's a corporate guy, is she going to complain that I'm gone all the time because I'm a type A driven guy and I'm not going to be there for the family every 5 minutes? I got to be at the office. Can she support me in that? Or if he's a musician, is she going to be okay coming to the shows all the time or letting me go play my gig when she's not at the show and I don't have hell to pay when I get back because a girl might have talked to me on the break? So can she support what he's up to? And when it comes to sex, can she be supportive? We tend to worry that men marry the best lover they ever had in their life, and that's not the thing they're looking for. That'd be a bonus. But it's not the main priority for them. What the criteria is can he be supported? Can he get the attention that he needs? Do they have a good enough sex drive compatibility? Is it close enough? And can he get the validation and the desire that she desires him, that kind of attention? Can he get the playfulness? He needs that kind of attention. And can he get the experimentation and spontaneity that can come with a healthy sex life? So what he's looking for is how is she going to, the whole ball of wax on this number one, is how is she going to pay attention to me? Can she pay enough attention to me. And this includes feeling cared for, feeling looked after. What's his flavor of being paid attention to? If you're familiar with the five love languages, many, many men is acts of service. Whether it's cooking, or if you don't cook, it's providing the food. Maybe you order the pizza. Or making sure he has clean clothes. Or making sure at least that you're throwing out things with holes in them and replacing them. I don't want to make it sound like we're defaulting to the old school roles. If that fits for you and that sounds yummy, then you should do that. If that sounds horrible to you and you think you should dress his damn self, then that's fine too. That's completely fine. But you just want to be able to make deals with your partner for what they can expect from you. My partner buys his own clothes, and I don't cook at all, and he still feels incredibly cared for and looked after by me because we're on the same page about what acts of service I am excited to do and what acts of service I'm willing to do, because he really gets a big bang for his buck out of that. And then there's the acts of service that, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to clean. I'm not going to do that. I don't. Sorry. Well, sometimes I do, but mostly not going to cook either. So they need that sense of home, but it's different than what we think. It's different than Susie Homemaker. What they need in terms of a sense of home is, am I paid attention to, and am I paid attention to well? And the most important piece about a sense of home and being paid attention to well has to do with having peace. Having peace and home at home, having it be a hearth and a home and a peaceful place to come back to instead of a war zone, because out there is a war zone. He doesn't need another war zone in his own home. So that's the very first thing that a man is going to look for. I'm going to check in and have you raise your hand. For any of you, is there anything in that surprised you? If anything surprised you, hit one. If there's anything that you're really glad that you already provide and you didn't know was that interesting to men, hit two. And press three if, yeah, you already knew that. Oh, good. Lots of surprises. And a handful of already knew that. Okay, good. All right, a mix of all three. Looks like 8% already knew that. Hopefully I've got two more, and hopefully it was a reinforcement for you of what you're up to and what you're doing. All right, great. The second thing that a man pays attention to when he's looking for a wife is he needs to see if he can win with her. Can he win at providing for her? Can he be liked by her? Can he win? So one of the things he's going to look at is he's going to wonder if he's able to provide what he thinks that she needs. So a man doesn't go out on a date with a woman and say, hey, I'm interested in getting to know you. I think you're a really nice person, but I want to know what you think you need. No, they're going to decide for themselves what they think you need. Part of that comes from what they think that all women need, and that stems from their values. But he's going to figure out, instead of asking straight out like that, he's going to figure out what you need by listening to you. And he's going to listen to you talk about your past. He's going to listen to what you want for your future. He's going to look at what you already have. And sometimes he's going to wonder how he's going to pay for that. Now, you know, if you drive the most beautiful Mercedes-Benz this year's model, great, that's awesome. And if you're on a first date or a second date or a third date, and he sees your car, you should talk about how you paid for that and how you don't expect that out of anybody because you got that. You might want to start talking about what you do want a man for if it's not going to be providing, because you're already a heavy hitter provider. Because men can be scared away by someone who has a high life if he knows he can't afford to make those payments. Because the natural default is provide. And if you're married, or maybe if you were married and you want to look back in your marriage, you might notice that there were things that you talked about when you were courting or when you were dating that he still kind of hasn't gotten over, that he can't provide it for you. You know, maybe you talked about how your whole life, all you ever really wanted to do was take that 3-week trip to Africa in the safari of your dreams. And to this day, he's never been able to provide it. And from time to time, he brings it up. Or that you pointed out your favorite house in town, that one on the street with all the old homes and the big trees, and some of them are mansions, and he's never been able to provide that for you. That's a failure for him. And what's done is done, and what's said is said, but you can still turn it around even 20 years later by talking about how happy and grateful you are for what you have with him now. Hey, remember when we were dating and I said I really wanted to live in that house? God, I was young. I so don't want to live in that house now. Can you imagine having to clean that house? So big. Woof. I'm a different person now. I'm so grateful for our life. I blew it myself when I was courting with Dave. As a younger woman in my 20s and 30s, I was in the hotel business. And I got trained at a very young age to like really fancy hotels. Thank you, the St. Francis Starwood Properties. Thank you, Starwood Properties. I want a really expensive hotel, and I want it for free. So I'm a snotty hotel girl. And, you know, after a while, we started courting. He said, I don't know if I can satisfy you. I don't know. Weekend trips away, we can't just do a quickie at an Airbnb I feel like if I took you to a Best Western, that wouldn't make you happy. And I had to adjust very quickly to say, no. I love weekend trips away. I just need it to be a unique experience. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it could look like this or it could like that. It could look like that. It could look like a cabin. It could look like an Airbnb as long as I had my own bathroom. So you might need to make corrections and clarifications because they're listening. They're absolutely listening to what it is that will make you happy, what you want, and they're going to want to provide that. So they're looking at what you already have and wonders, can he pay attention? He's looking at your lifestyle. He looks at what you talk about. And then he looks from his own value to see what all women should have in his estimation. So far, those are the two of the three. And I'm going to shift gears to tell you about the PAC special, and then I'm going to give you the most important of all of the third, and then I'm going to take questions. So if you have questions about this topic, I would love to have them, and we'll get to those at the very end. But I'm going to shift gears and tell you about PACs because we want to share our world with you, and we have a special opportunity for you tonight to take advantage of a $124 discount on our regular tuition, and you'll also get $261 of bonuses on top of that. So one of the things that we've married with this package is something, it's a really nice accessory. It will get you going before you're in your workshop. And it's a downloadable workshop, and it's called Loving More by Sacrificing Less. What an awesome title, right? Loving More by Sacrificing Less. That's all I need to say, really. Because we as women self-sacrifice so much. We do things all the time because we think we're going to make someone else's life better. And if they knew what it took out of us to do that thing for them, they would have never let us do that thing. So Loving More by Sacrificing Less really dives into and addresses exactly what I just mentioned. You know, sacrificing at the cost of yourself when they wouldn't have you do it. And you'll also get a 30-minute coaching session with a workshop leader after your course and you get an additional 3-hour follow-up teleclass. Like, it would be like this, a call-in teleclass, and $124 discount off the course. And if you want to take advantage of that, what you do is you go to registeruNderstandMen.com and then pick your dates and city. And the code is WN, like for Wendy Newman, so it's WN-914, and you need the dash. So it's WN-914. And then you could either pay in full or you could do a payment plan, and I love our payment plans because you don't have to pay it off before you do the course. So if you needed a payment plan and you wanted to take advantage of that, you just pay $1 right now when you put in the payment plan option, because it's $125 a month. So the $124 would get wiped off, so it would be $1 this month and then $125 after that until it was paid. It's a little bit more, but not much. What else do I want to tell you? Okay, told you about the bonuses. Yeah, so the course is $725 with that deal, which is 35% off. And if you give us 2 days of your life, we're going to change your life with men forever. I promise you that. We have a 100% money-back guarantee. Okay, shifting gears to the last one, the third thing. The third thing that a man looks for in a wife is he looks to find out if she can express what it is she needs, what's going to make her happy, what's important to her. You know, like if she got to have it all her way, like if she were the queen of the world, if she got to have it all her way, what would the world look like? What would her vision be for how amazing the world would be? Now, here's the problem with this, especially when we're dating, but even after we're married, we don't share this information. We often don't share this information. We don't talk about what we need or what would make us happy, because when we're dating, we're really busy trying to get him to be with us, to set up, to lock that down. And then once we have him, we just don't have the room to say what we need. We don't want to appear demanding or needy. So one of the things that some women don't want to be is they don't want to be too much trouble. Some women want to be a lot of trouble, and excellent for you. But there are some women who want to be very little trouble, and we think that if we show up very little trouble, then they'll pick us. That very little trouble is what they're after. That they don't want anybody who's high maintenance. But men commit to high maintenance all the time. Men buy Jaguars all the time. You can be high maintenance. However, if you're going to be high maintenance, you also need to be high performance. So we try and show that we don't need anything, that we're very little trouble, that we're not needy, that we're not high maintenance, so he'll pick me. And then once he does, some of us think we have to keep up the facade so he'll stay. But these are the things that they need to know, and without knowing them, he's going to walk. Without knowing what you need, he's not going to be able to see the second thing. Can he provide for you? He needs to know what he's going to be expected to provide. And if you don't talk, if you say you need nothing, well, he knows that's not true. So now it just seems sort of inauthentic, which authenticity is one of the most charming things about women. And if he can't get to what you need and there's inauthenticity there, that's like a twofer. Double whammy, negative in your favor. And then when you get married, oftentimes, especially if you marry someone that he's on a scale of 10 to 1, a 10 for you, you've contorted so much you can't quite be yourself. Well, that can go on for decades. So they need to be able to see what it is that they can provide, and they need us to tell them what we need, what will make us happy, because they need to be able to know if they're going to win with us. And oftentimes, if they can't figure it out, they'll walk out the door and say, you deserve to be with someone who can make you happy. I don't think I'm that person. Or if they don't think that they're going to be able, I'm going back to number one, if they don't think they're going to be able to get the attention that they need from you, they'll be gone without ever letting you know that they're going. So let's say you went on a really great date with someone who was real potential for you, and he wanted another date, and you were so excited. And he said, "Well, I'll call you next week." And you were so excited. And then it was Thursday, and he hadn't called. Now you're pissed. But then he does call. He calls at 4:30 on Thursday, and he wants to go out Saturday night. And you read that stupid rules book from 1995 or whenever it was that told you if he called you on Thursday night for a date on Saturday, you need to tell him no, that you're washing your hair or something, because he needs to learn his lesson and know you're busy and worthwhile. That's a fail. Don't listen to those rules. They're wrong. What happens is he thinks, okay, she's not available. Cool. Well, when else are you available? Okay, you're not available Saturday. When else are you available? Well, I have to fly to Chicago, and then I'm working on the thing, and you can get on my calendar in 3 weeks. Yeah, he's out. Okay, maybe I'll call you closer in. And then you never hear from him again, and you don't know why, because you really liked that one. You never heard from him again because he determined, I'm never going to get enough attention from her. She doesn't have enough availability. Now, does that mean you need to drop everything when the cute one calls? Absolutely not. You have your life, you live your life, right? You go on about your appointments, but you want to let them know, oh my goodness, I can't get you on my calendar for 3 weeks. That's ridiculous. I actually want to spend a little time with you, and 3 weeks is a long time, and my life normally isn't that hectic. Are you willing to wait that long this once? Oh, okay, so now he has a framework for this isn't always how her life works. So you want to be clear in your communication so they don't disappear on you because they're going to make assumptions. They're going to do default assumptions. All right, what else do I want to tell you about ways in which we accidentally and inadvertently blow it? We think that we're showing them how amazing we are by how together we are and how we don't need anything from a man. He needs to provide something. He's going to look at what can he provide for you, and if the answer is nothing, he's out. Look back in your history and see if you can see women who are 100% together and you couldn't figure out why that guy didn't stick around. I mean, she has everything. She's smart and accomplished, and she's in charge of every nonprofit event and does everything herself, and she's so amazing. If there's nowhere to contribute, he's going to be gone. Just like you can imagine with your best friend, if, let's say, your best friend was really sad one day, and you went over there to hold her hand, and you went to your best friend and said, how can I help? And she said, you can't, I got this. And then never let you in. That'd feel crappy, right? It'd feel terrible. That's how it is for men. Their knee-jerk response is to provide something, and we got this. I'm good. No, I'm good. I got this. Here, let me pay for half of that dinner. No. Let me pay. Very frustrating to someone who wants to provide. Okay, so I could go on and on and on, but I'd actually like to shift gears and take some time for some questions. Remember, at the very end of the call, I'm going to give you a super duper good deal on a almost half off deal on my dating class coming up October 20th. So hold on for that if you're single. But I'm going to put all the hands down, and we're going to take questions for about a little under 10 minutes. If you have a question, hit one. There's a lot of you on this call. I know someone's got to have a question. Okay, good. Hands just went up. Here we go. Hold on. Susan T, you have the mic?
Hi. Thank
Hi
you so
there.
much for giving us all that advice.
Sure.
Just real quickly, I started dating someone, and I think by the second or third date, he told me that he's got women in three other locations in the country, New York, LA, Aspen, whatever. And,
sure.
You know, he travels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me that, I was just like, oh, no. I mean, I really, really like him a lot. And so I said, oh, no, I'm not going to be, you know, one of those women that are going to sit on the shelf in the port. And,
yes.
So I said, you know what, because I do a lot of work with Pat Allen. I said, you know what, I will do everything but have sexual intercourse. I won't let you in. And so he was like, okay, I'm good with that. And, you know, a few more times we were together and, you know, we got intimate. And then he started to pull back. And then, I mean, he started to really pull back. And now all I get is just a text message every 4 to 5 weeks, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And when I respond back, he just, like, kind of disappears.
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, so confused because I heard everything you say. He wants the attention. You know, he wants to, you know, he wants the sexual part. He wants to know that he's desired. Am I correct?
Yeah, and it's tricky. So I'm sorry that you're having that situation. Let's just start with I'm sorry. It's heartbreaking, especially when you really like somebody. And he told you right, I don't know how out the gate he was about this, but he told you fairly quickly into the start who he was. And I don't know if this is going to be who he is forever or this is who he is in this phase of his life where he's going to be traveling and that he loves the connection with the different women he has and he's going to continue that. And one of the first things we're going to want to do is not be the woman in the one of the many women in the ports, right? And so we're going to try and flip him and try and flip him to be exclusive or with just with us. And deciding to withhold sex or deciding to give sex or, you know, making that call, are you going to sleep with him? Are you going to be intimate? How far are you going to go with him? That's all a strategy. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. This is natural and normal for us. A strategy to be able to trade sex for love. And you're hoping if you do it right, if you trade just in the right way, at the right time, at the right commitment, then it will turn out. But we have no guarantee. We hope that we have a guarantee if we're following a set of strategies that if he has a girl in every port and they're all sleeping with him, if we're the one who doesn't sleep with him, then we're going to show up as special. Or then we're worried that if we haven't slept with him and then he goes away, if we would have slept with him, he would have known how good in bed we are, then he would have stayed. It's all your internal biology strategy to trade the one precious thing that you know he wants to get what you want. It's normal. It's totally natural. And the answer to your question is you didn't blow it. You're doing what's right for you. Hopefully you're doing what's authentic for you. And what to do in the future is just be yourself and be authentic and try and see that the advice you get from anybody, Pat Allen, who is a genius, or anybody, you need to run that through your own filter of, does this resonate for me? It's like everything I told all the women on this call tonight. You got to run it through the filter. Does this resonate for me? Is any part of what she said, did it trip me? Is it not right for me? Then I'm not going to do that. I'm going to examine this. And then I'm going to decide what my authentic relationship with him is going to look like and what level of sexuality I'm going to have with him if that opportunity arises. Or if I'm even going to engage with him as a friend or someone to date if he's going to disappear. But, Susan, he's telling you who he is.
Well, at the beginning when we started dating, he was like, oh, here's the keys to my house in Aspen. Here's this, here's that. And I was just like, why don't you come? And I didn't make him a priority. I was like, oh, my daughter's going out of the country. I can't come with you to Aspen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was just like, and then my friends were like, because we all did Alison Armstrong's. I did all their seminars. And my girlfriend was like, no, you've got to call him back and tell him no, you're going to come.
Well, what there is to do now is to be authentic going forward and just, like I said, be clear and call out what's happening as it's happening.
But do I still reach out to him or do I just wait until he reaches out to me? Because every time he texts me, it's like, hi, how are you?
I'm going to stop you real quick because there's a lot of women on this call and I want to get to other women. But the answer to the question is, what would you do if he was your friend? So if you want to reach out to him, reach out to him. If you want to wait for him to call, you can do that. But it's all strategy. Waiting, reaching out, it's all strategy to get that man. And I want you to push beyond the strategy to do what feels right for you. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Thank you. Okay. Michelle, you have the mic.
Hi, I am over 40. I am perimenopausal. I have adrenal exhaustion, and my position at the moment is I shouldn't even bother with dating until I'm after menopause. So I'm hoping you're going to tell me that's misguided. But
well, the fact that you're hoping that I'm going to tell you that that's a misguided thing is you should not wait. Don't wait to date. Don't wait to date. No, we all have our reasons, you know, whether it's what you're going through or work is busy for the next 3 months or, oh, geez, I've got to lose this extra 10 pounds. There's never a good reason to wait to date. You're burning daylight in your life if you're looking for a partner. If you like being single, then be single. But if you are looking for a partner and you feel slightly underutilized without partnership because you've done a lot of work around that, then don't wait. Yeah, don't wait.
Even though I'm not able to give what I used to be able to give, and
yep.
I feel super, super high maintenance.
Yep.
I feel
unpredictable
and crazy.
What you're going to do, Michelle, is you're going to start figuring out ways to be super gracious and graceful about expressing who you are today. And you don't need to worry about expressing who you are today versus who you were 10 years ago. That doesn't matter. It's who you are today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And men are down for that. We're all aging. I just turned 49. Trust me.
Really?
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, one more quick question, and then I'm gonna give you my special offer. Hold on, let me hand the mic to, so many hands. Leanne, you have the mic. Leanne, you might be on mute. Okay, Leanne is not, okay. Next one, Amy, and that's A-I-M-E-E. You have the mic, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. My question was, you said, if you're going to be high maintenance, you have to be a high performer. I was wondering if you could clarify what that means.
Yes, I could clarify what this means. So, you know, you could talk to someone who says something like, you don't need anything. All you need is air and water and shelter, right?
Right.
Well, but if you're going to be amazing, wouldn't an extra couple hours of sleep beyond 4 be good? You could probably live off 4. But would you be amazing?
No.
Yeah. So you want to think about high maintenance versus and high performance like this. A car, let's say an automobile, let's say a Jaguar, okay? A Jaguar doesn't need anything. It doesn't need good fuel to run. It doesn't need special oil. It doesn't even need an engine. A Jaguar doesn't even need wheels or tires if it's sitting on blocks in someone's yard. It's still a Jaguar, but it's on blocks in someone's backyard. that's not so great, right? So in order to have it run at optimum levels, it's going to need high octane. It's going to need wheels. If you're going to run and perform at the level you perform in the world, as a partner, as a businesswoman, as a mother, as a friend, as a community leader, to be everything that you can be for your husband, for your partner, for your people, you need to be in good shape. And you're going to need a lot more than food, water, and shelter.
So if I have high maintenance needs or requirements, which I was doing what you said, and like, oh, I don't need anything, which really I do, and I have these wants and desires, I'm not clear as to what's okay to expect I understand the analogy, but I'm not seeing how to apply that to myself.
Come to our workshops. We're going to teach you that.
I've done the Women's Code.
You've done the Queen's Code. You've done the Queen's Code. Okay, have you done the Queen's Code for life?
Yes, I did. I was added in.
How could you possibly not know this, girl?
I took notes. I don't specifically remember. This was new to me.
Yeah, okay. So you want to think about what you're – all right, so we're going to make this quick because then I got to move on to my announcement so we can get everybody off the call. But you want to think about, to be at your best levels, what do you need? Because without them, you'd be offset or not fine. You wouldn't be fine. So for me, I need 8 hours of sleep. I can get by with 6, I'm cranky. 8, I'm fantastic. If I'm going to go lead a 2-day workshop, there are all kinds of things I need before I go lead a workshop, including particular types of food and sleep and caretaking of myself to make sure that I have enough energy to be on stage for 2 days to give the women everything I've got. So it can be from an individual person, a thing that you need every day, to a thing you need for certain events in your life. You need to really look to see how am I going to be in great shape. And that's all I can give you in this short amount of time. Sorry about that. Okay, I am going to shift gears. So, like I said, I hold these free teleclasses every few months to introduce women to PAX and to me and to my 8-week Dating by Design class. And I want you to know that this class will give you hope and it'll give you real tools to make the whole dating process easier and more palatable. I'm telling you, there are things I learned up to the end, and there's going to be hands-on, practical things that you're going to have that you don't currently have, as my guess. So the special that I want to give you tonight is that if you register for my next class that's coming up soon, it's coming up October 20th, they're on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific. If you register for that 8-class series, you can bring a girlfriend for free. And in the 8 weeks, on the 8 calls, you're going to learn how to get a higher quality of man. You'll be able to find him quickly. You'll be able to be efficient and save time and energy. I'll teach you how to get that information you want from him quickly without the interview process. And I will give you one-liners on how to be gracious on a date in uncomfortable situations, like saying no. It's one of the reasons we don't like to date, because we're going to have to tell them no. I'm going to empower you to say no really cleanly, graciously, and easily in about 15 different ways. And I'm going to talk about paying for dates and how to handle that without doing the fake purse grab that we're really good at. And I'm going to talk about, there's 2 classes that are about online dating, and I'll talk about the mistakes that we make in our photos and in our summaries, and I'll have you stand out to men. And class number 4 is all about sex. So I'll answer the question, when is the right time to have sex for the first time, and every sex question imaginable that you could send in. And, you know, some of us don't have the opportunity to talk about what we need to know about sex with other people, and I'll go there. I'll go all the way there for you. So I'm very generous in that area. I'll give you everything that you need to know that you ask for. And let's see. And at the very end, class number 8, we talk about once you got them, how do you keep them? How do you get that commitment? How do you keep the relationship in great shape? And how do you build a strong foundation? And like I said, for those of you who've been dating for a long time and you're just not hitting successes, I can help you. I can turn your resignation and anger around, your resentment, and have you be resilient. And I can give you a lot of shortcuts. And for those of you who are new to the whole dating thing, the whole modern day dating thing, I can make sense of it all for you. And I can have it be less overwhelming and less, have you be less afraid. And you might have gotten a flavor from it tonight, but I'm really against rules. I'm anti-rules. I would much rather you sort out your best practices, what's going to work best for you in your life. And so I'll give you a lot of tips and shortcuts, but I'm going to want you to question everything in terms of what's going to be your best practice. I'm going to point at things that you're going to think through for yourself. What's my best practice? Instead of me handing you some lame rule that doesn't work for you. And in the 8 weeks, it's 8 weeks for 75 minutes of live class, and then after that 75 minutes, we do Q&A. So it's about an hour and a half per class. And you get access to downloadable recordings of all the calls that you can keep forever and ever. And there's homework and exercises. And one of the best pieces about this is the Facebook group. It's an optional piece if you're on Facebook. After the class is over, you're put into a secret group of Facebook graduates, and they all love each other and support each other. If you don't have any girlfriends that are single, if all your girlfriends are married, come do this class. You'll have so much support long beyond the 8 weeks. It's the after party or the after workshop support group is worth the tuition alone. And you'll also get my book. If you register quickly, I can send you out my book by Kindle or by mail, 121 First Dates, to get you going. And the cost of the workshop is, the cost of the workshop is $295. You can bring a girlfriend for free. So if you want to split that cost, you two can work that out between you, or you could gift it to her. And I want to basically give you that half off because I believe in the buddy system. I don't want you out there dating alone. And if you two learn this stuff together, she can support you, you can support her, you'll have the same tools, and just the slightest bit of tweaking could change everything for both of you. And if you don't have a girlfriend to bring, what I'll give you instead is a second book that you can give to someone when you meet her that's also single to be your buddy. So if you register by Monday, I'll send you a special recording of class number 3 to get you started, and I'll send you out the book. I also have a payment plan, so payment plans are available, and you don't have to pay for it in full before jumping on. And so when you register at wendyspeaks.com, that's WendySpeaks, when you register there, just let me know if you're bringing a friend. Just write bring friend, or you can write two books. So I know what to give you. And I hope you got value out of tonight. I'm going to be sending you this recording so you can listen to it again. And I'll be sending you an email this one time to give you that recording and any instructions for either the Queen's Code or for dating by design. All right, I hope you have a good night. I'm going to open up the line so we can say goodnight to each other. Everybody has a mic. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.